This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on red-hot-mama.com. This is episode number 91 on February 25th of 2008. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me is the crack technical staff. Hi, Johnny.
Hi. You sound a little tired. You doing all right there?
I tell you what. Yeah, I got the big release coming out on Friday at work, and so I'm kind of under the gun. My contract help threw in the towel today. And now I'm doing the whole job myself.
Right.
And, you know.
But at
it's
least...
It's a lot of work. That's all I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, sure, sure. But at least you can come home and have some, you know, beer on tap.
That's right. Thanks to the crack technical staff, we have beer on tap.
That's
in
right.
our house.
The kegerator.
The kegerator. The converted mini fridge that holds the 1/6 barrel keg.
Very tiny.
Yeah, it's very tiny. That's all right, because, you know, it's a beer for two.
Right. A full-sized keg would... Well, I don't think we could finish in the 3 months that it lasts in
a
kegerator.
Well, since you don't have a selection of beers on tap, we just have the one, and, you know, you'd get tired of having... Like, right now, we're rocking the Killians, which is... Perhaps not the coolest beer in the world, but, you know, it's for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
For one.
It's Irish-ish.
Irish-ish. It's Irish-inspired. At least the name is. And the logo.
And the fake color? I don't know.
And the fake redness. And it's pretty easy to drink. Pretty
and it was also cheap.
Also cheap.
Which I didn't want to go with the most expensive available for our first one.
Because, you know, it turns out there's a lot of learning involved in creating a kegerator. There's a whole lot of balancing the dials and the carbon dioxide balance correct and keeping the refrigerator the correct coldness. And yeah.
Yep.
You know, lest you think that any idiot college student could do it. You know.
Right.
But, well, they probably could.
Maybe. You know, but
studying
virology. It'll certainly help. As we start getting into baseball games, beer on tap.
It's pre-baseball, and I already find it very difficult to go past the kegerator without getting a big old frosty mug of beer.
And games start in what, 2-3 days?
Well, we were watching
the
1975 Game 3 of the 1975 World Series today.
Yeah, back when the Reds were good.
Those are the days, huh?
And I don't.
I wouldn't even know. I wasn't even alive.
Well, neither was I.
And you know, I'm not young.
Soulmate.
Later on the show, we'll be having Brad Stewart of the MLB front office talking a little bit about what's available to people resource-wise for people who are going to be playing the fantasy baseball.
Oh, the fantasy.
Apparently, you can make some pretty decent money at it. I had no idea.
Huh.
And but in the meantime, we got...
Let's talk about the Reds not being good anytime soon.
That's a nice segue. Talked about the Reds being good in the past, not being good anytime soon. He actually talked a little bit about the dangers of Dusty Baker and the projected. We'll get to that.
I've tried to be optimistic about him.
I know it.
It gets harder. He doesn't make it easy.
That's true.
Today, what was it? Just the other day, he brought up the clogging up the bases. His most infamous quote.
He
pulled it out again.
That's awesome. You see, because you think clogging up the bases is a phrase that you could, like, roll off your tongue and you're like, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't what I meant exactly. But then he went and said it again months later when he's had plenty of time to think about it. So, no,
I think this is, like, the third or fourth time he's been recorded as saying it.
Wow. Consider this.
So,
wait. First of all, let's hear what the actual quote is.
Okay. What you do is run the pitcher's count up. That helps.
Sure.
You put him in the stretch. That helps.
I guess, yeah.
But your job in the middle is to either score them or drive them in. Name of the game is scoring runs.
Okay.
Sometimes you get so caught up in on-base percentage that you're clogging up the bases.
Wow.
Like,
I'd like to understand how you can clog the bases. Because, I mean, clog, you know, implies that you're preventing the flow of motion.
Right.
Which makes me think that, like, slow runner. Now, we did see a situation at one point where the, like, what was it, like, Friel behind Hatterberg or something like that. Where
sure, you run into that occasionally,
very occasionally. But like in my mind, like that's all I can envision when I hear clogging the bases. It's like there's some like slow ass runner on second, so your guy doesn't have a chance.
He comes off sounding so stupid.
No, it's true.
I don't know. I'm not really sure what point he's trying to make.
Oh, I know what point he's trying to make. He doesn't want people to walk.
You think?
Yeah, he doesn't like walks.
So, but he does like solo home runs?
Well, clearly.
I mean, because...
Rally killers. He loves the rally killer.
Oh, he and Chris Welsh are going to get along famously then. I don't know.
I have so very little faith in Dusty Baker. You know, I'm starting with very low expectations, so I mean, he can do nothing but be better than I'm expecting.
You know,
I actually expect the Reds to start off the season with a 20 game losing streak.
Oh wow!
Well, that'd be kind of long.
That would be historic, in fact.
But I mean, that's the feeling I have about it. It's like, man, this is such a shambles.
He had success with the Giants.
Dude, what have you done?
A long time ago.
What have you done for me lately?
How long ago was that? A miserable failure with the Cubs. It's like, and then he was out of baseball for a year. It's like, I don't know.
How long ago? I mean, it was...
He was with the Cubs for 3 years. He was out of baseball for a year. Mm-hmm. So his last year with the Giants would have been 5 years
and
ago.
And so was that last year good? If it was good, why wasn't he still there?
I can't remember. It was either his last year with the Giants or his penultimate year with the Giants that he took them to the World Series.
Okay. Consider this. What if your company hired on a programmer that was a really good programmer 5 years ago, but had completely clustered up everything that they had done since then?
Right.
Would you be like going, oh yeah, but he's a really good programmer. He's got a history of being a good programmer.
I don't think so.
See, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. But, you know, I think that we've really beat this horse, this dead horse, over and over again. And now
it's just kind of like sitting there in the base paths, just
clogging things up.
Yeah. In lighter news.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
What?
You look at Prince Fielder.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Donuts. Meat donuts.
Meat donuts. Meat ice cream. Bacon smoothies.
Has anyone tried that? I bet someone has. My dad would have eaten that.
Well, apparently now Prince Fielder has seen the light, the error of his ways, and is a vegetarian.
Wow. No crap. How long has he been a vegetarian?
I think it happened in the off season, so just a few months ago.
Man, he's going to get skinny if he can keep that up.
There's an article about it on the Brewers official site where he talks about having all this energy. And waking up and not being, I don't know. He read a book. It was given to him by either his wife or a family member called Skinny Bitch.
Nice. No, seriously, this could be huge for him. Well, you know.
Pun.
Yeah.
Intended.
It could be not as huge for him.
The book is, you know, kind of talks about a lot of the bad things about the meat industry and the fast food and the carcinogens. And
oh, yeah.
So apparently
without a doubt.
Turned him off of that. And he's... vegetarian. And
wow.
He says, I tell people I don't eat meat, and they're like, oh. They forget there's so much other food out there. Beans, rice, tofu. You've got a lot of good food, baby.
He's right. No, he's absolutely right.
I
agree. All those things. The only thing is the preparation. You can't just pop beans, you know? You don't just like grab it.
Well, the article did say that I think his wife is able to prepare a lot of their meals.
That's nice.
So that's fine and dandy in the off season.
True, truly told. But you know, he's got the money. That's the other thing that prevents a lot of people from eating healthy is the expense.
That's true.
And he shouldn't have any trouble with that.
And the Brewer Park ballpark does have soy hot dogs,
all right,
or not dogs, if you will.
Not dogs. Now, but baseball players don't eat the concession stand food, do they?
He might have to.
Certainly, they can. I hope the team will support him in that, because that can only be good for them. He is already a big boy, and he is not a old fella, you know.
Right.
He's well on his way.
We'll see.
To following his father's footsteps, and it's.
And he hates his father, so he probably doesn't want to do that.
It would be it would be something special if he could get his get himself skinny.
Yeah,
man.
But if he loses a lot of weight, I would think he'd lose some power, some ability to drive the ball.
I wouldn't count on that, man. There's a lot of skinny home run hitters. No, there are some skinny home run hitters.
Sure.
I mean, you don't have to be a
true
fat guy.
True. But the one good thing is this might allow him to have more inside the park home runs.
I was going to say, the one thing it might take away from him is the intimidation factor when he's plowing into home, you know? Block the plate, bitch! You know, kind of thing. Well, so good luck to Prince Fielder. I hope that he can keep that up, and that'd be great. You know, that'd be like totally in keeping with setting a good role model for the kid for the kiddies and all, you know, all that stuff.
There you go.
You know, he can have he can make himself one of those kids clubs, and then all the kids could come to the games and eat hot dogs.
There you go.
Hot dogs and but I can't think of a single vegetable you can get at the ballpark.
No, it's very fried.
There's no beans or rice or tofu there. But I, no, there might be tofu in the hot dog, but I can't think of any beans or rice you can get at the... Maybe it'll inspire them to introduce some more...
There you go.
Some new menu items. What else?
The only Cubs item I have on the agenda this week isn't actually a happy one. Their super utility guy, second base, shortstop, third base, right field type guy, Mark DeRosa, has apparently been having an irregular heartbeat in the past week. So he's like currently in Chicago, left the spring training home, and has gone back to undergo some tests and possibly surgery.
I wonder what kind of surgery that would be.
I don't know. He talked about, he's 33, so he's rather young to have heart attacks or heart disease
unless
or anything
he's
like
been,
that.
You know, using some sort of substance that would damage the heart.
But he talked about not wanting to have to take medicine, and if there's a procedure he would be for that instead of having to take medicine for the rest of his life.
I believe that's called a pacemaker.
Hmm.
I believe that's a pacemaker. That
could be
for an irregular pace. I wonder.
Regular.
That's interesting. I wonder. He wouldn't be able to stand too close to the microwave. Would there be any other problems with having a pacemaker in baseball?
Have to. What do you have to worry about? The microphone on interviews with
maybe so.
Well, hopefully he's able to get that taken care of and get back to playing baseball.
Okay, well, soon, Mark DeRosa. I hope that everything works out really well there.
And also in sad news, Rayon Mado is no more.
Is he dead?
No.
Well, then he's more.
Okay, fine. He got DFA'd
freaking
weeks. I don't even know how.
His name. It's R A Y.
No, it's R A Y. Whatever. It's the show notes. No one can see this. Gosh, so unprofessional.
Sorry. Little Ray.
He was DFA'd.
So he's been DFA'd. He's going to go to Indy.
Oh, if he clears waiver and stays with the Pirates.
Oh, you don't think he's going to clear waivers? It's Little Ray. But, you know, if
they won't
else,
even see him. No one will see him on waivers.
He does seem to be kind of invisible. But if he didn't clear waivers, then somebody would pick him up, and I'd be all for that, too. So, I mean, really, this is a win-win. The only thing is, if he didn't accept assignment to Indy and decided to, like, go to Japan or something, then I wouldn't be digging that. Yeah. But it'd be kind of awesome to have him in Indy.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, you know, go out to the stands, Little Ray! And he wouldn't know that was him, because,
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he wouldn't be in the bullpen, so we couldn't sit right behind him.
That's right, at the at Victory Field in Indianapolis. You can sit right next to the bullpen, like... Literally,
you can like
a foot away. You could like kiss the pitchers.
You could do the little joke where you tap on the shoulder and then.
Totally.
That'd be awesome. Well, Mado was DFA'd to make room for Byung-Yun Kim.
Okay.
Whom the Pirates signed to a $1 million major league deal earlier this week.
I remember that.
And they had a full roster, and Olmedo was the one that got cut.
Poor little Ray.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see Byung-Yun Kim in the Central.
I don't know about Kim, but as far as Little Ray, I think actually the Pirates would do better to have him, just given what I know of the Pirates.
Hmm.
So if he goes down to Indianapolis, I bet he'll be back up with the team.
Yeah. One thing that Kim is a rather entertaining relief pitcher, because he has an unorthodox delivery, almost a submarine style from way down low.
Cool.
So, you know, at least we'll have that entertainment when the Pirates play.
I look forward to it. I can hardly wait.
I'm afraid that might be about it. And this is the time, and as teams start heading towards games in spring training, where it seems like all the teams in the Central, at least, are signing pitchers to fill out their rotation and their bullpen. The Pirates did Kim. The Astros signed Chacon to help with their rotation.
Right.
He's an average pitcher. Well, actually, he has a nice little pattern going throughout his career. Like last year, he was above average. The year before, below average.
And so he's above average. He's dancing around the line.
Yeah. So The pirate signed him. Yes, the pirate. He's like alternating current. The pirate, the Astros signed him just in time for his bad
year. Good job, Astros.
That's pretty much been their off season.
How long has it been? I mean, how long has this pattern been going on?
Like 4 or 5 years. You know, it's just silly. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. But he is just an average pitcher. But I think the Pirates might need the help in the rotation. They're pretty thin.
What else we got?
Cardinals also signed a pitcher, former Red Ron Valone.
Oh boy, I don't like it when the Cardinals pick up former.
Well,
Reds.
He was a former Red like 7 years ago when we first started watching.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just...
Well, you know, the Cardinals this year, not so much looking like they're going to do anything.
No. And they're just doing the thing that the Reds used to do, where they accumulated a bunch of pitchers on minor league contracts in spring training, and I hope someone will be good, and then they ended up with
sticks.
Tubby, you know?
Ooh.
What was his name? Jimmy Anderson. That one didn't work out well. But none of them did. And then the Reds signed Josh Fogg to help with their rotation.
Fogg. Yeah, what's funny is Josh Fogg, in my mind, is forever a Pirate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he is so firmly entrenched in my mind as a Pirate, but he hasn't been a Pirate for years.
No. And last year he had great success with the Rockies down in their stretch run into the playoffs.
That's right. Well, I don't know if it was great success.
No, he was amazing the last month of the season.
Well, okay. I should say the Rockies didn't have great success. They had surprising success. I guess
they won like almost 24 games.
You know, you're right. I wouldn't complain.
I'm saying the last month of the year.
If I got it. I wouldn't complain.
He also held his own in the playoffs against some good other teams. So.
Sweet.
So it might work out for the Reds, or it might just block some other better younger pitcher.
Yeah, that does seem likely. I mean, you
given
know, 50-50.
Dusty Baker and his preference for veterans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our last item before we slide into the interview.
Yeah?
Joe Nuxall.
Nuxie!
Do you remember the fans voting on who should be nominated for the Broadcaster Hall of Fame Award?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Joe Nuxall won in a landslide.
Oh,
80-some
like,
thousand votes
out of
120,000. He didn't win.
I know. That's crazy. Who is in charge of deciding who actually makes it in?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, obviously it's not the fans.
No. And I know he was local.
Mm-hmm.
People outside of Cincinnati didn't hear him.
Whatever.
However, the person who won is like some Seattle broadcaster. Who outside of Seattle has heard of him?
Well, I mean, the number of people that aren't local is what? I mean...
Yeah, I know.
Are we going to put Joe Morgan in there? I mean...
Well, he's already in the hall.
Yes.
For good reasons.
For things he was actually good at.
So, maybe next year. I really think they missed the boat. They should have had Joe and Marty in together back when Marty...
Yeah, that would have been...
They were a great team.
That would have made a lot of sense. And you know, this just makes you think, like...
Well, now he's not going to get in.
Well, it just makes you take the whole thing less seriously. Like, well, if you can't even recognize who ought to be in the Hall of Fame, well, just screw you then. I'll just pay attention to someone who does know what's important.
Yeah.
That's all.
What the frick?
What the frick?
Mother frickers.
Yeah, the award is the Ford C. Frick.
That's right.
Hall of Fame Award, for those of you who don't have the benefit of the show notes sitting in front of you. With us on the Red Hot Broadcast today, we have Brad Stewart, the founder and editor of MLB Front Office, a sports enterprise. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. So tell us about the MLB Front Office.
Well, we're a fantasy baseball website. We're actually relatively new. This is our first off-season we've been around. We have 6 different writers producing almost daily articles that range from everything about stats. We've got 2 writers who focus primarily on stats to what's going around in baseball in the news, keeper leagues, and pretty much everything else. So we pretty much cover everything regarding fantasy.
So is it the sort of thing where people pay to join, or is it free information?
No, it's absolutely 100% free, and we really rely on the readers to kind of create a community and to ask questions, and we like to consider ourselves more of a community than just experts preaching at the readers.
Well, that sounds really nice. What kind of advice do you give out?
Basically, we're just looking at all the fantasy draft tips, and basically, well, during the season, we'll be looking at player movement and how that can affect your team and in-season strategy. But right now, we're in the middle of putting out our draft guide that we're doing with FantasyBaseballExpress.com, and it'll be over 300 pages total. It's the biggest that I've ever seen for free on the internet. You know, most magazines are just 60 to 90 pages, and this is going to be 300, absolutely free, and it'll include positional rankings, basically any other tools, and also a number of mock drafts by experts.
Wow. So I'm not really that close to the fantasy baseball community. So is this the sort of thing where somebody would download it ahead of their draft and then try to plan their strategy for how they're going to draft based on the information in there?
Sure. There's a couple of tools in here that'll actually be things that you can bring to you on draft day, just a couple of quick hit sheets if you need to look up a player on the fly. You know, you only have a minute and 30 seconds to do your draft or to make your pick, so that's important. But the other stuff is all, you know, information on players, player profiles, rankings that you could download before the draft to really research and then go unprepared.
So, wow, that sounds awesome. So what kind of, you know, Red Hot Mama, we cover all of the NL Central teams. So who looks hot in the NLC?
Two people that come to mind right away are the two rookie catchers for the Cubs and the Astros, J.R. Towles and Giovanni Soto. Towles offers a little bit more speed than Soto does on the base pass, but both are looking to be really hot, and both are being hyped up this offseason in the fantasy community. Soto is going around round 14 in your standard drafts, and Towles is going around round 20. Towles actually represents a huge bargain because he could end up being more valuable than Soto, and it's going six rounds later. And then from first base, you have Joey Votto for the Reds, who the only thing to worry about here is Dusty Baker's known for playing veterans, and you're going to run into the same problem with Jay Bruce in the outfield. Bruce, more than Votto, has a kind of a playing time issue. The Reds will probably get Votto full playing time, and he could end up being a 15-20 home run person with 10-15 stolen bases. And then also for the Reds, you've got Edwin Encarnacion, who's poised for a breakout. His spikes at the end of last year in August and September really just showed what he's made of. He had a little bit of time in the minors last year, which really seemed to help him, and he could come back strong, 20-25 home runs, maybe 10 stolen bases. So those are a couple guys to look at.
So it sounds like a lot of the young guys are very popular in the fantasy.
Yeah, what you're really looking for with general draft strategy is you want to get, in the first couple of rounds, you want to get the guys who you know what you're going to get from them. They're really reliable, no injury concerns. Basically, you want to minimize risk in the first half of the draft and maximize potential in the second half of the draft. So the young guys who are being drafted lower because they haven't proved their performance but will look to break out in this year are going to be really hot commodities in the second half of the draft.
What about pitching?
Pitching-wise, in the NL Central, you've got Rich Hill for the Cubs. He was a huge sleeper last year, going as high as round 10 in some drafts, which was drafting him a little bit high last year. He actually disappointed some with his 3.92 ERA, which may surprise people because 3.92 ERA is obviously exceptional. But in fantasy circles, people were expecting a little bit more, and there's no reason that Hill can't be better than that in 2008. He's got a wicked curveball, and you could be looking at a 3.6 ERA with 200 strikeouts. From another pitcher, you got Homer Bailey of the Reds. A little bit concern here is, again, with Dusty Baker. He doesn't like to play the young guys. And Bailey came up last year and struggled in the majors. But actually, Baker concerns me more than Bailey does Baker concerns me more than Bailey's stats do from last year, because Bailey, he just has electric stuff, and we could be looking at an ERA around 4, which makes him a great pick. And, you know, he's not going until the very end of the draft, if he's going at all. So he's a great pick in the 21st, 22nd round of a draft. The one pitcher that seems to be overdrafted right now is Carlos Zambrano of the Cubs, and I hate saying that because I'm a Cubs fan, but he struggled in 2007. He's only 26, and he has 200 strikeout potential, but he's got temper issues, and he's been worked like a dog. And we actually have a starting pitcher effectiveness system at MLB front office called the Seidman Starting Pitcher Effectiveness System, which is written by, or which was created by one of our writers, Eric J. Seidman. And the whole point of the system is to look past the barometers of win-loss and ERA to evaluate individual games within a season instead of the season as a whole. Win-loss record and ERA don't really work because they fail to differentiate between certain circumstances that are different for every pitcher. And so as far as Zambrano goes, in the past 3 years, he scored a 35 in 2007, a 45 in 2006, and a 61 in 2005. And what this means is that his numbers have actually been going trending down the last 3 years, which does not bode well for his 2008 season. To kind of put it in perspective, a 61 would put him as a number one pitcher. Anything above 50 is a number one pitcher. So that's saying that in 2005 he was an extremely elite number one pitcher for the NL. And then in 2006 he posted a 45, which puts him right in the middle of the pack as a number two pitcher. So even though he was the Cubs' number one pitcher, if he had been playing for an average NL team, he would have only pitching as a number two pitcher. And then in 2007, he took even another step back, and he ended up being a high number three pitcher, even though he was still the Cubs' number one pitcher. So basically, you've seen him in the past 3 years trend from an exceptional number one pitcher to a high number three pitcher, which doesn't bode well for 2008. If this trend continues, he could end up as a low number three pitcher, high number four pitcher in 2008, which would put him at an ERA maybe around 4.2, which would certainly not be good for where he's being drafted, which is around the 10th round right now.
So it sounds like you're able to correlate the ratings that you're doing on a fantasy basis back to actual in-game performance and some predictive. Do you ever use this information or these statistics to like do things like predict the division?
You know, the Seidman system, which we're using for pitchers right now, is just new and it only applies to starting pitchers right now. So we haven't really gotten into that. It's probably something that we'll explore within the next year to try and predict that kind of thing. But right now, you can predict starting pitchers' individual scores, but it doesn't really relate back to team performance right now.
I see. So you mentioned Homer Bailey and you mentioned Zambrano there. What team is looking the best pitcher-wise?
Pitching-wise, you know, the Brewers are looking good if Sheets can stay healthy, but that's always a huge if.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with Gallardo's injury, you end up with a question mark there. He should only miss a start or two into the season, but if that ends up stretching on, then you're really not going to like them there. Cubs are solid. Hill's actually their number one, despite Zambrano's going to be listed. Hill's the best pitcher on that team, and then probably Ted Lilly. So you end up with Zambrano as your number three, which is a good top three, but then the number four, number five spots are kind of in the air right now. The Reds, if they could get one more elite pitcher, they could be really good, but they're about one pitcher away. The additions to their bullpen make them a good team on that respect. They were terrible in the bullpen last year, but their starting pitching still a little weak. Obviously, the Cardinals without Carpenter are weak. The Pirates are probably better than the Cardinals, but you know they're still not great. The NL Central altogether is a really weak division for pitching. There's just not a clear-cut best team right now.
How about closers? What closers do you see going highest?
You know, actually, right now one of the big question marks closing wise in the NL Central is the battle with the Cubs between you've got Kerry Wood, you've got Carlos Marmol, and you've got Bob Howry. And right now they're saying that Howry's probably the front runner, but if Wood can stay healthy throughout spring training and prove himself, he probably becomes a closer to start the year. Marmol's the guy with the most upside and the guy that all the fantasy owners want to see end up with the closing job. And right now, both Wood and Marmol are being drafted in fantasy leagues. There's something called average draft position, which takes a number of drafts. One of the leaders is mockdraftcentral.com. They have a number of mock drafts at their disposal because they've been offering them since December. And you can pinpoint the average spot where a player is going. And right now, of three closers on the Cubs, Wood has the best ADP. He's going up around the 16th, 17th round. Marmol's going a little bit later than that, maybe 18th, 19th round. And then Howry's not even being drafted at all. So if Howry can pull out that job, that's just going to be a huge waiver wire pickup for all fantasy owners and someone that could really benefit your team.
Do you review all the online fantasy leagues available, like Yahoo and I guess some of the Penguins?
We don't have a explicit review of different websites, but just my personal preference. As far as free leagues go, I play Yahoo. The interface seems most reliable. You know, ESPN had some troubles last year with scoring being messed up in the first week, so that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth. If they can come back stronger this year, then maybe I'd be willing to go back to them again.
So what advice would you give to somebody who was brand new to fantasy baseball and wanted to get into the sport?
I would say you need to go online, MLBfrontoffice.com, check out player rankings, but also take the advice and make your own list. Because although experts are going to spew information out at you, what you need to do is you need to determine what that means to you and how you want to use that. Because all the leagues score differently, and so you need to apply it to your own league. One of the most important things to do when you're signing up for a league is to take a look at the statistics that are being counted in your league. You have your standard 5x5 league, which is home runs, RBIs, runs, stolen bases, average on the offensive side, and then ERA, OBP, saves, strikeouts, and wins on the pitching side. And that's going to be your standard league, and that's what all the rankings are based off of. So if your league deviates from that at all, then you're going to need to make adjustments to that. But on top of that, just the fact that people have different opinions. Obviously, if you think a certain player is going to break out and you're drafting them where an expert is saying to draft them, that's not utilizing your knowledge as well. So what I suggest is to get a number of different resources. Say you've got your draft guide from us at MLB Front Office. Go out and buy Ron Chandler's book, which gives really good projections using just numbers. You've got the Zips projection system online. You've got basically just a number of different resources you can use, and a number of free resources also. There's kind of this idea that if you're going to get good fantasy baseball information, you're going to have to pay for it. But paying for information means that you're cutting into your winnings. If you've got a league where you're paying $50 to get into the league and then you're winning $500 if you win it, but you're also having to pay $50 for information, then you're ending up only winning about $400 in the end when you could, so you're not maximizing your money. And so buying magazines is great, but by the time these magazines actually come out, they're outdated, which is something that MLB Front Office offers. Actually, this week we're going through, we're updating our rankings to be more current. The current rankings that are up right now were created back in December, and so we're going through, we're updating based on people moving to different teams, based on playing time situations, and that kind of thing, which is something that's really important to look at. You know, if you're going through, say, ESPN is a great resource if you just want to look up a couple numbers of a player. So if you're going through and you're looking at a player and he had 20 home runs, it may not look exceptional, but then if you look that he did that in 400 at-bats, then that is obviously a lot better. So playing time is something that you really need to look into, especially when it comes to closers. You need to look at who's going to have the job, because saves are almost impossible to predict.
So fantasy baseball for fun and profit. I'd never thought about the winnings aspect.
Yeah, it's become, you know, fantasy baseball is a growing industry. Fantasy sports in general are up to about 20 million participants every year. Fantasy baseball is around 5 million. Fantasy football is still the big one, but baseball is growing. And with this, there's just a ton of different ways to make a profit, and people are trying to maximize that. So it's just become a great way to have fun and also make a little cash on the side.
Great information. So that's the MLB Front Office, MLBfrontoffice.com, right?
Yep.
Go on out there and get your fantasy information and start up your own league.
Yep, and also one more thing I'd like to mention.
Yeah.
We're currently offering a league through us. We're calling it the Pros vs. Joes contest, and this is an opportunity for just average players, anyone from a beginner who's never played before to someone who's been playing for years and has won numerous leagues, to play against the experts at MLB Front Office. It's $50 per team, and 100% of the league registration fees goes to the winner. And the winner will also get a chance to write about the experience on the website and get a little exposure that way. So if you're interested in getting into fantasy, or you've already been playing fantasy for a while, it's a great way to test your knowledge against other people.
Wow, sounds interesting. Challenging.
Yeah.
Really see whether the people who pick their players based on their hair color and winning smile have anything.
Yeah, it's like when you're filling out your March Madness bracket and you're going, well, I like this team's name, so I'll fill them in there.
Exactly. Of course, if you're putting up $50 for it, you're probably going to have a better system than
Yeah, I would hope so.
Well, great. Thank you for being on the show, Brad. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning into the Red Hot Broadcast. Game start in just a couple of days. We're looking forward to that. So keep on hanging in there, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Show your love for the show by leaving a comment on iTunes, or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional NL Central on our website at red-hot-mama.com.